Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week and had a great weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick in East Nashville, and Marquise Bunsenbeck at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Chase McCabe will be with Floyd Reese this afternoon and all week. So Chase and the GM coming up today at 2 o'clock. Every Monday at this time, we talk with TD. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com, now joins us. He covers the Titans, and he drops his podcast every Wednesday on the program. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
How was your weekend?
Weekend was good, man. I got a new grill, so I put some stuff on there, you know. Did my thing. It was good to get Chef Boyardee back in the backyard. So, yeah, it was good. How about yours?
So what do you rank your grill level, like your ability on the grill? What's your skill level? What are you, 1 to 10? What do you think? Are you a
one
master?
To 10, I would say about an 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to be, you know, too overconfident and give myself a 10, but I say an 8.
Okay. That's good. That's very good. Before we get into some football stuff, we had Chris Sanders on earlier last hour, just kind of talking about some of his experiences, talking about what's going on in the world, and we talked about this incident that happened at Talladega yesterday in Bubba Wallace's garage, where a noose was left in his stall. We love talking with you football, but also, you know, sometimes it calls for us to talk about this stuff. When you saw this story last night, what went through your mind?
It didn't surprise me. I actually had this conversation with my oldest daughter last night, who's a senior at Howard University, and we were just talking about some of the things that are different now as opposed to when I was in school. And I just explained to her that one of the things, it's bittersweet, because here's the deal. You always have people who have those type of beliefs, right? But now these people are more out in the open with it. So it's not a matter of, you know, shaking your next door neighbor's hand or saying hello to your next door neighbor when you come home, and then that next door neighbor going in the house and calling you all types of inappropriate names. It's now out in the open, right? If somebody doesn't like you, they don't like you. And that's one of the things. And with this situation here, with that noose being in Bubba Wallace's trail, I mean, that's ridiculous. That's, to me, is the highest degree of cowardice. And I think whoever did it needs to be punished to the utmost degree. And it's just, I mean, it's cowardly. If you have this type of problem with somebody, be a grown-up. Approach them about it. Let them know. You know, if it's to that degree where you want to hang a noose in their work environment, be grown and let them know. That's the way I look at it, and I think it's just whoever did that is a pure coward, and I firmly believe that.
Do you have any personal experiences over the years dealing with fans or what have you?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, whether even, you know, back in playing days, in high school, I encountered it. Obviously, you know, when I was younger, encountered it when we went to a different area that, you know, didn't have a lot of people that looked like us. I mean, I remember at Cheney University, you know, that's an HBCU, but we were in a state conference, the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. And I remember going against schools like Kutztown and IUP and Westchester, and you're going there, and they would call you the N-word just to try to get you out of your game, you know, and it's something that definitely I've seen. And even in writing, you know, your email is open to people, so they could send anything. And I've received stuff, but, you know, I've learned to kind of let that not impact my thoughts too much, you know, not give people that free headspace. And I think that's really what you do. And just, you know, as far as on the field, I mean, that was something that just made me want to whoop their butt even better, you know. So I, most of the time, if that was said, I'd just smile at them and just shake my head and walk away.
Is that how you always handled it, or was there a time and a place when you did not handle it that way?
No, not at all. You know, I will give my wife a lot of credit. She's actually helped me to become a much more relaxed and reserved person. Growing up, you know, those type of things would definitely, you know, make me fight, make me do stuff I shouldn't do. So I've definitely learned to just overall control my temper. It was really bad, you know, growing up. I guess that was the Blackfoot Indian in me, you know. My temper was not the best, but I've learned to control it.
It does seem that hopefully we all calm down a little bit with age. That's at least that's the way it's supposed to work. How do you think this season, because of everything that we're talking about, we've got obviously a whole lot of weirdness in 2020, whether it's a pandemic. So you've got that in play, and maybe, you know, no fans. Who knows what they're going to decide on. With that, it's going to be different. We know that. And now we've got this element that we're talking about. Will it bring teams together? Will it be a divide? I don't know how it's going to play out. So how would you answer that? What do you expect from this upcoming NFL season?
Well, as far as from a team perspective, I think it absolutely will bring teams together even closer. I don't see how it will cause a divide. And it just, for me, just, you know, I think – adversity, you know, when you go through it together, you just draw closer. But as far as how the season, I mean, it is so up in the air, and who really knows? You know, now you have the tiers that they're establishing as far as access is concerned. But, I mean, when you look at the different colleges, right, that are coming down with outbreaks, you know, and you look at other sports, you really have to question, all right, is this really something that's going to be able to happen? And, I mean, at the same time, there are issues that are even bigger than this, you know what I mean, that
sure,
you know, have to be ironed out. But, I mean, for a lot of us, this sport, football, it's you know, for some of us, it's a living. For others, you know, it's a very, very pleasurable outlet to be able to, you know, sit down and watch a game, whether it's at the stadium or sitting in your house. So it's really impacting so many people. I hope it does work out, obviously, but there's really no telling.
Willie, I know I was getting ready to flip it to him real quick, but I want to just jump in there quickly because this has happened on the college level. And you brought up the college game. Athletes are speaking out against their coaches if they feel like behavior is unacceptable. As a player, you brought up your playing days. Did you ever feel that you had a coach that was out of line, whether it was a head coach or an assistant, that you were uncomfortable with?
I always got along really well with my coaches. Never had issues, so I can't say that.
Willie?
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Teron, you referenced the new tier system that is coming out now. And at least in my mind, I've gone through a stage in the last few weeks where I started to allow myself, and this is all within my head, right? I think we're all still trying to process how we're dealing with this virus, right? I was starting to, in my mind, say, this is going to happen. They're going to play. We're going to figure this out. And then for the first time in a few weeks, there was a number of things, not just with football and college football players coming back to do workouts and, you know, baseball players and hockey players, I started to say, whoa, you know, maybe I need to pump the brakes and not assume that this is going to happen. Are you feeling the same way? Are you a little concerned now more so than you were when you know, you started hearing more and more about the plans ramping up?
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely a bit more concerned. Just because, like you said, the outbreaks at the different schools, and then it's just even just overall, right, as we continue to open back up and try to work back towards some degree of normalcy, you're seeing the numbers spike, you know, so it's just, it's tough. And you look at it, and I don't know that even if the season starts, I don't know that they're going to be able to have fans. Because, like, I mean, how is that safe? You know, so there's a lot of questions. I'll say that, man. It just, 2020 has been crazy, man. You know, we started with losing Kobe, and it's just going downhill from there. So it's almost like you want to just fast forward and let's get to 2021, man. This is a new year. I'm going to be celebrating like to the utmost degree.
When you saw the tears, I read over it once. I need to go back through and look at the details. It looks like, you know, obviously the players and the coaches are in one tier. Then there's the next wave of team officials. The general manager is in tier two, I think, and the football ops. And then tier three is more of the employees and the in-house media. I guess the team announcers would have that. So as you start the process, how you'll do your job, if we can continue forward here, Teron, how do you view how you're going to communicate with the players, get the stories that help you do your job? How are you going to try to tackle that?
Yeah, I think most of the availability is going to be virtual. And I hate that, because some of the best conversations that I've had were just random bump into, hey, by the way, what do you think? And then they resulted in long conversations. So I hate the fact that it's almost a foregone conclusion that we won't be in a locker room. So for me, you know, I'm going to rely on text messages, you know, rely on personal relationships that I've established. But again, there are other relationships that you still have to establish. You know, like, you don't have everybody on the team's phone number or a contact to them, you know. So I'm going to rely on the connections I've established. But Titans PR, you know, they're always really, really good. They're working on a couple of things for me right now, and they're always really good as far as trying to make sure that, you know, we get the access that we need. So just going to have to work at a different angle and you know, roll with the punches, so to speak.
I saw the story this morning, Adam Schefter saying that it appears that Dak Prescott is going to sign the franchise tag. What were your thoughts? Are you surprised at all that he's not going to take it a little closer to July 15th before that happens?
I'm not surprised, because at the end of the day, you have to look at it. It's $31.5 million. That's a lot of money. And obviously, he would like to have a long-term deal, but I think he understands what's in front of him, right? Go in there, perform to your best, get off on a good start with your new head coach, who has done a solid job, at least on the offensive side of things, with past quarterbacks, whether it's, you know, Alex Smith, obviously Aaron Rodgers. So I think you go in there, and I'm not surprised he's doing it. I think he's going to go in there and play himself into a position where, you know what, they have to at this point next year. They have to give him a long-term deal.
What do you think is going to happen with Jamal Adams for the Jets? This is one where the timing of, you know, everything that's going on right now, you know, I wonder what his chances are, as opposed to if this were, let's just say, 1 year ago or 2 years ago, in a sort of a more normal off season where you try to get yourself out of a situation, perhaps like Jalen Ramsey did in Jacksonville. So, what is the end game here?
Yeah, I'm not sure with that one. I really struggle to understand his gripe, right? I think when you look at what the Jets have done, they've made him a key part, and he earned that right. You know, just like Dak Prescott earned a new contract, you know, he earned the right to be able to be a focal point of that defense. So I just think it's just almost too dug in, man. And I think at this point, they can't. They have to deal them. I really feel that way. They have to deal them. But it's just there's give and take, because as a GM, you don't want to show yourself to have, you know, okay, well, this guy, he played the trump card. Not trump card, that's not right. He played the ace in the deck, and he made me you know, deal him. So now other players could try to do that too. So I think there's give and take with it, but I feel like it's in their best interest to get rid of him, because he's a very emotional player also. So you know how that goes, man. Like, if a guy that's already emotional is in a situation that will cause even more emotions on the negative side of things, that could be bad in the locker room and bad for your organization.
How crazy is it that he basically comes out and says, I want to go back home and play for the Cowboys? If that is your goal, he didn't help himself by doing that, right? Because now he puts the Jets in a terrible spot. It's not like the Cowboys have all this extra money laying around. They're always up against the cap. They're always investing in top-level players. I don't know how many times they can do it. Now, I don't know if maybe Jerry Jones can't resist and he does something, but if you really do want to get out, it doesn't put the Jets in a good position to say, oh, yeah, I'll just call Jerry Jones and he'll give me a couple first-round picks and we'll all be happy. That's an odd way of going about it.
Yeah, I think in this case, this is an incident where I think the players should not have come out and spoke, because, as you mentioned, it really murdered any degree of leverage that you have. But from a cap perspective, he's only going to cost 3.5 so this year. So I would think that, but as you said, they're always up against it. So next year they're going to have a situation where they're going to have to, you know, extend him long term, because he's going to want his money. But I think it was a bad thing for him to come out and say all of this, because, again, it destroyed any leverage.
I just want to ask you one more, Teron, because I saw your tweet on Juneteenth. And I think this is one thing that has come out that's a good thing, is the awareness of Juneteenth has grown in a big way. This year, probably more so than any other year, without a doubt, right? And listen, I'm a history major, and I studied history of Black America. I took classes. My senior thesis was on slavery, and I admit I didn't know a whole lot of the details of Juneteenth, but I've kind of made it a goal of mine to know more now, and it's people like yourself that have tried to pass this along. So I'm curious, when did you first start learning about Juneteenth? When did you first become aware of it?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't learn about it growing up. I learned about it. I still remember his name. My sophomore year at Chain University, Professor Holmes. And I remember I took African American history, and he taught me about it. And the thing that I always loved, it was just, you know, I would stay after class with him. And, you know, he would tell me just different things. Like he would say, you know, when you go back to your dorm room, you're going to open up your refrigerator and, you know, you're going to grab a soda and you're going to drink it. Did you know that the person that invented that refrigerator looks like you? You know, and it just, like, that type of stuff always resonated with me. So I said, for me, you know, I want to make sure that my daughters know about it. I want to make sure that, you know, my nephew knows about it. I want to make sure that it's just knowledge that I share with people. So that's where, when I first learned about Juneteenth, was, you know, sophomore in college. And I just made it my business to make sure that, you know, my children, they understand their history and they know about it.
I learned more about it this weekend when there was two websites that are attention seekers were squabbling over that. So that's when I learned a little bit more about it. Anyway, Teron, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing this. Anything on tap for the podcast this week that you can tell us?
We're working on some things. I definitely want to just, you know, keep bringing solid shows. But I don't have anything in stone, but we're working on some stuff.
Okay, good deal. Always appreciate the visits. Thanks for doing this. Have a great week.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy.
All right. Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, his podcast, Talking with TD, will drop on Wednesday, and he does a fantastic job. You can also hear it on 102.5 The Game, and he joins us on the program. And he is the NFL Nation reporter for covering the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. We will come back on the other side. One of the candidates to be in NHL Hub City has been told they will not. Also, a really cool move by the SEC and honoring somebody, and we'll tell you more about that as well on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Good times here in the house. My 8-year-old son wearing a hacker mask. I don't even understand all this stuff, this mask that he wears all the time, and teaching me his rapping skills. Or, I don't know. I told him he needs more work, but he's trying. So we had a little fun with that during the break. That was why I like that song by Alice in Chains, but that was another reason that it was probably playing that long. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game on this Monday. We'll head east at high noon and check in with Vince Ferrara from WNML, like we do every Monday, and talk to Bob Nightingale at 1 o'clock about the baseball situation. And this is what I know coming up in about 15, 20 minutes. Saw a really cool thing put out there by the SEC, and they have announced that they will introduce a new internship in communications in honor of the late Edward Ashoff. Of course, we know about his work covering the SEC for ESPN in college football. But a really cool gesture by the conference. Of course, he attended the University of Florida, did a really good job, and passed away in December at age 34, which really just took everybody by surprise. Like, wow, are you kidding me? With a case of pneumonia. We had on Edward Ashoff many times over the years. In fact, usually at SEC Media Days, we would get him to come over there and sit down with us. But a nice gesture by the league to introduce an internship in his honor and in communications, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the very nice job there. Good thought, and this is good forward thinking. The more that I see what Greg Sankey has done in his leadership position, the more I think he's doing a really good job and has continued to get more and more comfortable in that. I think, understand the role that he has. I have a lot of respect for him, right? When he first took over, I think for Mike Slive, I think none of us knew exactly what to expect, but I think he has done a really good job in that role.
I would agree with you 100% on that. The other thing that I wanted us to touch on is, when is the league going to announce, the league being the National Hockey League, going to announce these hub cities? And there was a list of 10, and you can scratch one off, at least what I was reading on Twitter, where sources are saying that Columbus has been told you will not be a hub city. So you can cross Columbus off the list. Surprise, not surprise.
Well, we talked to Elliot on Thursday, and it looks like Vegas is going to be one of them. And then the other is going to be a Canadian city. As long as Canada gets their act together and has all of the immigration and all of the things that have to be worked through government-wise, I think, to make it happen. Getting all the players from across the globe getting in to Canada and quarantining and all that stuff, it's a little more complicated, I think, in Canada. But I think they really want to have a Canadian city. That's the impression I got from Elliot. So it looks like Vegas is one. And if you want to go a little closer, I guess the rumor is Vancouver is the other. But I guess we'll wait and see.
But I thought there was pretty strong belief that they didn't want the host city to be in the same conference. So do you think they've laxed on that? Because if that's the case, the only place they wouldn't that would work because Edmonton being the other one would be Toronto, because then the Toronto could host the Western Conference and Vegas would host the Eastern Conference, if that's truly their thinking. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if they've laxed on that and that isn't the case. But remember early on when we were talking about this, there was a pretty strong belief that they didn't want the host city to have, you know, be in that conference. In other words, there be a home team. Do you believe that they still feel that way?
Well, it's been written about a lot, depending on whether you're reading Elliot Friedman or Pierre LeBrun or all of these. They have gone through that, and everything I've read basically says that it's not a disqualifier. Like there could be two Western cities. What I can't understand, I guess they must really be sold on the Vegas campus, whatever that campus or bubble is going to be, because the Vegas, the cases seem to be going up around there, and it just seems like, you know, it's not conducive. But they must like the actual layout that the players are going to spend all their time in enough to get it to go, because that's the one consistent thing that you keep reading is Vegas is going to be one of them. And so the Canadian city would be the other. I don't know how they would work around who goes where. Like, I don't know if the Vegas team would automatically not be in Vegas, the Golden Knights, or if they just determined, you know what, they're going to be in the campus just like everybody else, and it doesn't really matter that they live in Las Vegas. So I don't know. I don't know if they've laxed on it or not, but you know, I think the other thing that came up over the weekend was you had a report of, you know, certain players saying, wow, you know, it looks like there's a few players that have tested positive. I think Tampa had to shut down, mm-hmm. you know, their workouts. As it's inevitable, right? There's going to be some bumps in the road here. But will that have the players say, wait a minute, what are we doing here? Let's not agree to play. You know, how big will that faction of players be? You had these unnamed players, I think, in an article in The Athletic. I don't know if you saw that one, Darren, say, you know, what are we doing here? You know, we need to have a vote, and I don't know if I can vote for this. There's still a lot to be done before we actually see a game, it looks like.
I don't really think you can judge numbers going up, because really if you look around the country, most states, they fit into that criteria, most, other than, you know, the ones, the usual suspects that we've talked about, which are pretty vast, you know, like the Dakotas and Montana, stuff like that. But the heavy populated areas or states, you know, their numbers are going up. And I don't think you can really judge on that, because if you're truly going into a bubble, I don't really know how that would affect you, right? I mean, what's going on around you in the state? If that were the case, when you said Vegas's numbers have gone up, well, yeah, because they've opened back up, so naturally their numbers will go up. But Florida, I mean, the NBA and MLS, you know, they're all in on Orlando, and, you know, Florida is certainly going the wrong direction. So, but if you're going to be in your bubble, your air quote bubble, then I don't really know what the rest of the state would have to do with your little compound. True or not true? I mean, you know what I mean? It should be.
I think that's really it. I think you can't really let that affect
because
I think when we first started, like when baseball started talking about, you know, playing in the home parks and you're in your city, then that didn't constitute a bubble, right? So no. I was wondering what the NHL's thinking was there. But I do think now this would tell you that you are truly going to be in the bubble, right? And that's going to be hard for the players and their families, because they're going to be separated for as long as it needs to complete the season, for that team to complete their season. So that's a tough thing for the players to have to do, but it may be the only way that they can do it.
To be honest, this is just my thinking on this, thinking out loud, as, you know, I saw where Wizards forward Davis Bertans, is that how you say his name, Marquise? Davis Bertans, is that right?
That's close enough. It's close. I don't even know how to pronounce it either. I call it Bertans.
Well, evidently he has informed them that he has no interest in going to the Orlando bubble. Is that true?
Yes.
What I'm seeing?
So basically, and this is going to be a kind of a big couple days for the NBA, because they begin testing on their players tomorrow, and then Wednesday, players who decide not to go in the bubble have to at least notify their team by this Wednesday.
So. Well, okay, so that's interesting. So this is where I was going with this. To me, and I'm not trying to speak for other people because to each his own, but just think about it. You are a professional athlete. You get paid by an organization. You get paid well to play a particular sport, and so you know this is part of it. I mean, unless the league is just planning on shutting down until there's a vaccine, you know that there's going to be a plan in place if you do this. But the way I look at it, it's kind of like what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. I'm not quite sure why players would be uncomfortable being in a bubble, because you know leagues are going to go, like the NBA is going to go above and beyond to make it the safest place possible, right? They're going to go above and beyond. And it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, right? We have felt comfortable doing some things, Willie, and we were talking about whether it was going out to eat or our first stay in a hotel. If you feel comfortable, right. Like this to me, that what the NBA will do, or MLS, especially the NBA, like it will be far exceeding what we've experienced. So I don't know why they would feel uncomfortable, because unless these players that are uncomfortable are just completely in their house and they're not doing anything, why would you feel uncomfortable going to a place where you know everything is on lockdown and protected and cleaned and extra cleaned, and you know they're going to be watching this thing like a hawk. So I would think they would feel even more comfortable than going anywhere outside their house if they're going to this bubble. That's just my thoughts, but you know, like I said, I can't speak for how people should feel. This guy for the Wizards, I mean, to each his own. He has the right to feel how he feels, but I don't know why. If you're uncomfortable with that, then I can't imagine that this Davis Bertans has even left his house, because how can he be comfortable with anything else?
Yeah, but you also, for his sake, I know he's a free agent this year as well, coming up. Okay. So that may play a part into it, and also he plays for the Wizards. So the Wizards, their chances of making that playoffs is pretty slim.
I understand that.
So yeah. I don't know if that's his reasoning for
it. But what would the free agent part, why would that factor in?
I guess, you know, he feels like he hasn't played in a while, that, you know, he's going to
hurt his stock.
He may come back and then get hurt because, you know, they've been sitting out for a while and then not, like, little to no training camp, really. So maybe that's his thinking of it. He has not made a statement yet because the news just dropped today. But I'm curious to see what it was. If it is because he's going to be a free agent this year and he doesn't want to get hurt by getting in this bubble, and then all of a sudden, you know, his stock gets dropped, or, you know, maybe it's just because, hey, we play on the Wizards and there's no chance we're going to make it anyway, so it's really no point for me to risk my health to go there.
Most people, including me, don't even believe they belong. So I mean, look, that is the easy way, because I honestly, if I wanted to kick the Wizards while they were down, that would have been the first place I would have gone. Well, of course he feels that way. Why would he go risk anything, you know, worrying playing for that team? I mean, that team is going nowhere in this, and most people like me don't even believe they belong. So, I mean, I get that, but I don't know. I'm a little confused with some of the players that have come out being concerned about going into this bubble. Where are you concerned? Do you leave your house? Because I would have way
but
more
concerns.
But concern
I think it's just the unknown, right? It's a fear. Don't you think it's a bit of a fear of the unknown? Nobody's ever been in a bubble before. Nobody's ever done this before. So it's kind of like when you're a kid and you're like, yeah, you're going to go to day camp. You're going to go to this camp. Well, what's camp? You know, there's some little kids that have never gone to a camp before. They freak out, right? I used to run basketball camps. I've been to many basketball camps. There's always a kid the first day of camp that's in tears when they leave their mom or dad who drops them off at the camp, right? They're 6 or 7 years old. They have no idea what's coming, right? And they're just really worried. They don't know what's – and then usually 10 or 15 minutes in the camp, they got a buddy there, and they're fine, right? Everything's good. Mm-hmm. But I think it's human nature a little bit. You don't know what this is going to be like. Well, I can't leave my room. I can't leave the campus. Can we get through this? What if I need to see my family? It's tricky. Like, different people handle it different ways, I would have to say. right? And hopefully they can get through this and just know it's not going to be perfect. There are going to be people that test positive, and they got to have a protocol for that. But to me, like the basketball and the hockey, you would hope has a better chance of being executed in these bubbles than baseball and football, who I think are going to try to do it without a bubble.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you could, honestly. You're right, the trickiest one, they're both. It's very clear. It doesn't seem like they're going to – their plan is for any type of bubble. I don't – because you're asking – I mean, you know that your bubble in football's case would be what – August, September, October, November,
yeah,
December.
Like a whole season in the
bubble.
That's
5 months right there, and that's no playoffs. I mean, it could be 6+ months, half of a year in a bubble.
Right.
I get that part. And you're right. I think they have way more challenges. I'm just bringing up these players are going to be tested and have temperature. They're going to be monitored constantly monitored. I would feel. To me, I'm just speaking for myself. I would feel safe knowing that I am being monitored and the people around me are being monitored daily, right? And so everybody's got a close eye on everyone that's in this. And so to me, that would put me a little bit at ease. But like I said, to each his own. Maybe this is just a factor of a guy playing for the Wizards.
I mean, maybe from an outsider perspective, you look at Florida and then you're just like, their cases are high. You know, there's not a lot of protection. I know I'm in this bubble, but it's still the state of Florida and how bad and how mismanaged they had with this whole thing in the first place. So maybe some players just feel like that. Like, don't want to go to Florida.
But they're not going to the beaches. They're not going to be out there in that stuff. You know, where a lot of this is happening. They're going to be in their own little world. That's why I'm saying what happens in the state really doesn't affect them, because they're not going to be out there with the people that are, you know, partying on the beach and they don't care. In groups of, you know, 20. That's all I'm saying is that, you know, they're not going to be out there with some of the things that are happening or in crowded bars or what have you. They're not going to be in those scenes. Same way with Vegas. We talked about, remember the casino, the video that went viral?
Yes.
I mean, they won't be in casinos doing that. So they don't have to worry about that stuff in Vegas for the NHL.
Can you imagine being in Vegas for weeks, right, whatever the time period is, and looking around and you see all these people outside of your hotel or outside of the bubble, assuming you can see something outside the bubble, and you can't go out there. Can you? I mean, what will that be like?
No,
for the
I couldn't imagine being
aren't
in Vegas
allowed to experience that
for months and not being able to have any fun with what comes with Vegas. So, you know, casinos, whatever.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure they'll try to create that within the bubble, right? Just like the NBA
probably.
Is trying to create fun things to do. It's been publicized, right? Marquise was having fun with that last week, talking about some of the things they've created in Orlando. About the card games and stuff like, I'm sure they'll do a similar thing in Vegas, but you're just not going to have the free rein to, you know, jump out, take a cab and go somewhere for dinner that you've heard about, or go to a casino and then go to another casino, or go to the old, I don't know what they call it, the old town or whatever in Vegas, the original strip away from all the big, I mean, you're just not going to have the ability to do that.
We're going to find out who's the best one-on-one ping pong player in hockey when this is all said and done.
Yeah.
Because that's probably all they're going to be able to do.
You're right. We will find out some stuff on that front for sure. We will also come back and find out what you know. We will end this hour with Twic. This is what I know. It's an open canvas. Just take it however you want. Keep it clean. We'll have a little fun with that on the other side. 615-737-1025. We do that next on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Yep. We want to know what you know. It's very simple. Tell us what you know. It's Twic time. 615-737-1025. 737-1025. The best, this is what I know, won a $25 gift card to Tin Roof. So a good prize in store. I'm just going to tell you what I said earlier. I probably did it prematurely an hour early before Twic, but I feel strongly about it, and I feel good, and I want to see this happen. But I think they're going to get to the bottom of this, and this is what I know. They're going to find out who's behind the noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. They're going to race today at Talladega. Richard Petty is heading to the track. He is going to be a part of this. He's going to be there with Bubba Wallace and stay in solidarity with him. And I know the local authorities are heavily involved in investigating this along with NASCAR. I even saw reports. I think the FBI may have some representation there to be a part of this. And they're going to get to the bottom of this and find out who did this. I've been in those garage areas, and I feel like that you can narrow this thing down and somebody's going to talk, or there's a camera, or there's something, and they're going to figure out who did this, especially since everybody wants to find out who did this, and that person or persons, their days in the sport, I would say, are probably over once they do it. So that's what I know. I feel good that they're going to get to the bottom of this and figure out who shamed the sport and did that awful gesture yesterday in Bubba Wallace's stall in the garage by leaving a noose there. So that's what I know. Willie?
Darren, this is what I know. I don't know what was in Westfield, Indiana, before they built this complex that we just spent the whole weekend at, but I have to believe the town population wasn't very big. I don't know how they had enough space to build. I've never seen so many baseball parks in one concentrated area.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it reminded me of the scene in the movie Hoosiers where they talk about, you know, you can just start walking and walk for days everything's flat, everything is farmland or whatever. Or Terry Crist's famous line about Winnipeg, you can watch your dog run away for 3 days. But this reminded me of that. Like, it's just this huge area. I want to see a picture of it before they built this complex. I don't even know what year they built it. But just massive amounts of fields, right, for little guys and then, you know, the big fields as well. But it took – you had to really know what parking lot to go to and where the field was, because you could go to one area of the complex and be nowhere near the field you needed to get to. And then you're scrambling to get around. And it's by no means the only one in our country, right? We've talked about this before, the rise of these complexes. And, of course, they're all trying to deal with we just were at one a couple weeks ago, Lake Point, which is similar, but it's not as big as this one. I mean, it is massive, the amount of fields they have at this thing.
How many do you think they had?
Well, let's put it this way. They had like D diamonds. And so they had at least 26 of the big ones. And then I think they had a whole nother complex of C, which was the smaller diamonds. I lost track. It has to be at least 50.
50 fields?
50 fields. It's got to be. Maybe
You've
more.
You've got to be kidding me.
I got to look. In fact, I got to look it up. I want to know
how many acres
how many
does this
fields.
Sit on.
It's massive.
And this is in where in Indiana?
It's north of Indianapolis. It's not far. Carmel, Indiana is the town. So in the Westfield is where the complex is.
Wow. Okay. That's impressive. At least 50 fields. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. All right, okay, let me just see. 31. Okay, 26 baseball and softball diamonds. 31 purpose fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse.
Wow.
400 acres. 400 acres.
Wow. Okay.
We got to the first parking lot. We were like, yeah, we're looking for field one. And they're like, you got to get out of here and you got to go around. And I was like, aren't we at the fields? Like, we're at the field. They're like, no, you got to get out and around. You got to turn at the roundabout and go around. And your field is way back over here. I was like, wow. I just hope we're not late for the game.
That is impressive. Okay. Let's find out what other people know. Let's go to Brandy. Brandy, what do you know?
Hey, guys. So this is what I know, and I'm going to piggyback off of Darren a little bit. I think we are living history right now. And what I mean by that is this is the time we are going to tell our kids about and our grandkids about. And for me as a teacher, my future students, I think this is the time we're fighting to make a better life for those kids and for my students. And I think now is the time that we need to realize people who put nooses in Bubba Wallace's garage are fighting to scare us back to the way it was because they don't want it to change. And we can't let that happen. This is the time that we need to stand up against all hate and stand up against everybody. It's easy to stand up to strangers. It's harder to stand up to your friends. But I think this is the time we also need to stand up to our friends who make jokes and tell them that's not acceptable, that's not funny. And I just think we need to change history for all. And this is the time that we all need to do it, all need to step in and do it. And we need to make things that, like what happened to Bubba Wallace, just not happen anymore. And for everybody to know that is completely unacceptable.
Well said. Thank you for the phone call.
Great
well
call.
Done. That was very good.
We're living history. She's right.
I agree with that. I do. I agree with that. Let's go 615-737-1025. How about Nate? Nate, what do you know?
This is what I know, fellas. NBA and NHL fans need to petition for a doubles ping pong tournament. You can't tell me that the players will not be susceptible to each other's germs when they're playing their professional sport. So what's the difference between playing ping pong where you're trying not to bump into each other when you're playing doubles and when you are basically trying to defend from someone getting to your basket or your goal?
I did think that. I did have that same thought, Nate. Like, okay, they're in a bubble. They're playing against each other on the court, and yet they're not.
That is right.
So part of that, Marquise, right, is they can't play doubles.
Yeah, yeah.
Pong,
so you could play one on one, but no doubles.
No doubles.
No doubles.
I did have that same thought. I mean, it's not really something that I'm going to get too emotional or over the top about because we're talking about ping pong for NBA players, but. I will say that thought did cross my mind of, well, you're going to be out there playing on the basketball court against each other, you know, this whole time. And what would doubles ping pong have to do with anything? But anyway, and you're in a bubble. So, nonetheless, that's the rule. And they're just, once again, what I said. They're trying to minimize the risk.
Yes, what can you do to minimize the risk and put you as at ease as much as you can?
Yeah, and that's why I said these players should feel good. I feel like they're going to be in the safest place you could possibly be, where you are in a setting with people and you're playing competitive sports against each other. The NBA is going to keep it as safe as possible, and you're going to be constantly monitored. And so, anyway, so that's I understand it, but I did have, if I'm being truthful, I did have that same thought. We will come back. We will head east like we do every Monday at noon. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara from WNML, the sports animal there in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. We'll talk all things Vols with him to kick off the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.